Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on in our discussion of Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. We are currently in the third part of the book, and we are in Wilderness Mentality number 4. So we have about 5 or so chapters left. So we're coming towards the end of the book, and I wanted to tell you guys about the book that we're going to be reading next so that you have enough time to get it, to read about it, and decide if you want to join us on this discussion as we go through this book. So the book that we're going to be reading next is called Leadership as an Identity, The 4 Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence. This book is a Christian leadership book. It's written by Crawford Loritz. Let me read the description for you. It says, ask yourself this question: what character qualities define a godly leader? The question leaves out too much. Asking only about the character seems inadequate. What about personality, communication skills, IQ, education, previous experience, and more, right? Author Crawford Loritz answers this question with 4 simple words: brokenness, communion, servanthood, and obedience. These 4 characteristics provide the framework for leadership as an identity. Examining each trait, Loritz undermines the pervasive and unbiblical assumptions about leadership. Loritz imparts timely wisdom, correction, and direction. God doesn't look for leaders like the world does. He looks for disciples. So this is the book that we are going to be reading next. I'm really excited about it. I purchased it some time ago, and I haven't read it yet because I was like, actually, I'm going to save this and we'll read it together for the podcast. So I'm really excited to dive in to this book with you guys. Unlike Battlefield of the Mind, this is a book that I haven't read before. So you'll really be getting my fresh perspective. And then I think this book complements well what we're doing on the Bible on Business series. Talking about leadership from a biblical perspective is perfect for how we are exploring the Bible on behalf of our business. So we will start this book right when we conclude Battlefield of the Mind, so it won't be a lapse or anything. We'll get started right away. You have 5 weeks to get the book, to read at least the first chapter. I haven't decided how I'm going to break it up for the episodes yet, so I'll keep you posted as far as like how many chapters to read. But for now, click the link in the show notes to get that book, to read about it, read the reviews, and determine if you want to go through that with us here on the show. Second church announcement. I am so excited. I have a free live training coming up September 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called God Math, the Spiritual Formula Every Busy Woman Needs. I was recently praying and fasting, and the Lord gave me this formula that I thought was just so brilliant. I am constantly going to the Lord for correction, for pruning, and just wringing my heart out to Him and bringing my requests to Him and my dilemmas to Him for His guidance and for His wisdom. And when He revealed this equation to me, it was just like, I feel like an aha moment isn't enough to describe the way my mind was blown. And as a woman who is busy, I have two children, two businesses. I'm married. I am operating at a new pace. So I'm busy, but by way of having a lot of responsibilities, but I'm not compromising the season that the Lord has me in, which is a season of pace, a season of peace, not a season of hurry and rushing. And sometimes those two things, being busy, but also having a pace, can seem like they're conflicting and working against each other. But what the Lord showed me was elements to this, what I'm calling a God math equation, where he says, the equation is consecration plus concentration equals multiplication. When we talk about consecration, we're talking about being set apart, being close to the Lord, being righteous, being at his feet. When we think about concentration, we're talking about focusing our energy on what truly matters. The analogy that he gave me was one of, even if we think about a beverage, right? So let's say orange juice, for example. When something is more concentrated, it is more potent and it's filled with more of its key ingredients. So if you have an orange juice and it's a concentrated orange juice, it's just juice. When it's less concentrated, it's diluted with water, vitamin C, citric acid, natural flavors, all the things that may go into it. So when we think about concentration, it is being focused on the key elements without being diluted in any type of way. And when it comes to multiplication, we're talking about allowing God to increase the work of our hands beyond our capacity. We know that God is a multiplying God. And so this equation was so powerful to me, and he began to even walk me through practical ways to apply this formula based upon my particular goals. And I am excited about this training because I just want to share. There are many women who are busy, who wear a lot of hats. Us as modern women, we are very multifaceted. We do a lot of things and we do them well, but the Lord is causing us to operate in such a precision. It can only be attributed to his divine multiplication, his divine hand on it. And so I am excited about this training because I just want to share. I want to go into a lot more detail and I want to break down this formula so that you can be able to apply it. So if you are someone who wears many hats, you're looking for a way to have that harmony. You're looking for a way to not have to do it all, to have it all. You're looking for a way to keep in step with the Spirit and operate from a place of peace and not a place of worrying and rushing, but you're not sure how exactly to do that. Come to this training. I simply just want to share with you what the Lord shared with me. It's free. I'll put the link in the show notes for you to be able to register for that. And we're going to have a time. I cannot wait to see what the Lord does. All right, let's hop into Battlefield of the Mind. Again, we're on chapter number 19. This is wilderness mentality number 4. This mentality is, I can't help it. I'm just addicted to grumbling, fault finding, and complaining. So for those of us who are familiar with this story and the behaviors of the people in Israel, this is how they acted. They were always complaining, always blaming somebody else, always fussing about something, This was a mentality that they had. Joyce focuses primarily in this chapter on complaining. And I want to focus on that as well, because I think that and a lot of the scriptures that she pulled and the things that she discussed is relevant to a lot of us and a season that we're all going to find ourselves in. So she started off the chapter with 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to go all the way to verse 23. It says, "For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor deceived anyone. He never retaliated when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly." Joyce says, "Until we learn to glorify God by our attitude during hard times, we won't get delivered. It is not suffering that glorifies God, but a godly attitude in suffering that pleases him and brings glory to him. She said, it was many years before I realized the focal point of these verses in 1 Peter is not the suffering, but the attitude that one should have in suffering. Something that I've learned as I've grown in maturity in my relationship with the Lord, I have always understood intellectually that suffering was a part of it. But I believe because I was mistaught for so long that when I went through suffering, it always felt like punishment versus pruning. And I believe that a lot of people are mistaught even today, to where the second something goes wrong or you're going through a hard season, you feel like, oh, God isn't answering my prayers, or I missed God, or maybe the Lord is punishing me. Maybe I need to do something else so I could get back in right standing with him. I feel like so many times we misconstrue a season. And in that, our focus is now on, what did I do? God, why am I here? Why? We're focusing on that as opposed to patiently enduring, as opposed to suffering well, because Jesus suffered and he's our example. I developed these habits when I came to this realization for myself, because where the way that I grew up, I didn't grow up in church, but I went to church. And the church that my mother would take me to most often was a mega church. I remember this church, they had a ATM in the lobby, and it was a lot of preaching, a lot of prosperity gospel, and a lot about how God wants to bless us. I didn't hear much about suffering. And I have even witnessed, not personally, but just observed more so, I've observed so many people of faith manipulate people suffering for their own good versus teaching them how to suffer well. So, for example, they see they're going through a financial season, but instead of teaching them how to patiently endure, instead of teaching them how to suffer well through these seasons, they try to tell them how they need to give what they don't have to them so that God would bless them. It's just so, I'm not even going to go on that tangent, but it's a lot of manipulation that happens in this vulnerable state of suffering. And I want us as believers to be more mindful of that and more equipped to understand that suffering is a part of the journey, and it is not going to feel good at all, but we can't avoid it. I know sometimes as soon as something hurts, we don't want to willingly go into the pain. But that is a part of this journey. We are going to suffer. Christ suffered for us. So why would we not suffer for him? Why would we not trust that this season that he has us in is for our good if we say that we believe this text? Why would we not willingly accept whatever his process is, because we trust that he knows best? Some years ago, I came up with these processes because I was trying to train myself on how to deal with suffering and persevere through suffering without complaining or turning away from the Lord. And so there are a couple concepts that I came up with that I'm just going to share with you, because I believe it'll help anybody who may be in this space. One of them, if you have any of my products, you've seen this, where it says, I feel, but I know. And so what I would do is whenever I was feeling whatever the feeling that came up in a season of suffering, I would write it down. And then I would go and find scriptures that speak to that. And now, I mean, with AI and stuff, you could do this a lot faster than I did. But I had this little book by Joyce Meyer called The Power of Speaking God's Word, I believe. And it was super small. It fit in my purse. And whenever I felt a certain type of way, I would go to that book. It was, the chapters were organized by emotion. I would find that emotion. I would go to those scriptures and I would just read them and I would read them and I would read them and I would read them, and then I would move on. When the emotion came back up, I would speak the word. And then I would continue on. And so that's something that I would suggest that you guys do. If you're going through a season of suffering, sit in that. Don't run away from it. Don't try to make that draw a wedge between you and the Lord. Don't let the enemy pervert this space, because I feel like this is the space that he capitalizes on so well. We even see it when Jesus went into the wilderness, how here come Dusty going out there to tempt him. But Jesus was strong, and we have to be strong as well. now we have all these tools and resources. So I would go into ChatGPT, Perplexity, whatever AI software you use, and say, hey, I'm in a season of suffering with the Lord. Right now, I feel like this. What are some scriptures to encourage me? Who are some people who lived through a similar situation that I could study and glean from? Which one of Jesus's parables or teachings from his time on earth are most relevant to what I'm dealing with right now? Whatever the case may be, put in the prompt, get what you need from it. Or if you want to go old school like I did, write it down, go to your Bible study tools, get a book like Joyce Meyer's The Power of God's Word, get your Bible. You could go to the back of your Bible. There should be an index where you could look up how you feel and find scriptures on it.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
Like, we have to really draw near to him in these seasons of suffering, because again, he suffered for us, and our suffering will never compare to his. So how dare we act like we too good to go through something for our Savior? Something else I did that helped tremendously was I had this process where I would just get it all out. Whatever I was feeling like, God, I'm mad. I feel like you had me make this decision and I did this and it's not working out. I'm going through XYZ. I feel like this. I'm dealing with persecution from here, blah, blah, blah. Like, all whatever I was feeling, I would take it to my Father and let it all out, all of it. And when I was done, I would always say, nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I moved on. And not in a dismissive way, but I moved on, meaning I just continued to persevere with the Lord. So I'm not ignoring my feelings. I'm not burying my feelings because that's not going to do anything but cause issues. I'm not burying them. I'm not avoiding them. I'm not allowing the enemy to manipulate them. I am leaving it all on the table, how I feel. But also letting my flesh, letting the enemy, and letting God know, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, let your will be done. And a scripture that I learned earlier on in my walk, in my one of my first suffering seasons where I developed these concepts, is one that I still hold on to every time I'm in a suffering season, Matthew 6:34. And it says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for today will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One of the ways I feel like the enemy capitalizes off of these suffering seasons is he tries to get us too far ahead. He tries to get us into next year, next month. What if this never? What if this always? And it's so funny because I feel like having children always illuminates things of how we act in our relationship with the Lord. So my son, who's 4, if I tell him no to something, he's like, I'm never having a slushie again. I was like, did I even say that? I just said no. But you have now decided that you're never having something again and you are so upset about it, but that's not even the truth. And that's what the enemy does. The Lord will tell us, no, oh, God hates me and he's still punishing me from what I did 20 years ago. Like, no, calm, let's reel it back in. Come back. Hey, come back. Let's worry about today. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's not worry about yesterday. Let's worry about today. Don't get too far ahead or too far behind. Today has enough trouble of its own. But back to the book. Joyce introduces Ephesians 4:1-2. And it says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And Joyce talked about the importance of us to be humble, to be meek, to be patient. These are qualities that the people in Israel didn't have in the wilderness that ultimately led to them taking 40 years for an 11-day trip. They didn't embody these things. I have highlighted here, she said, many people in the world are trying to find God, and what we show them is much more important than what we tell them. It is, of course, important that we verbally share the gospel, but to do so and negate what we have said with our own behavior is worse than to say nothing. So here she's talking about how we should behave as believers. She gave an example of how her daughter went to take her son to the doctor's office and they gave her the runaround. She tried to do her due diligence beforehand to let them know, like, hey, I'm the sister, I'm not the parent. She get there, they're like, you're not the parent, so you can't bring him. And she like, I called y'all and I told y'all that. And it was just this major inconvenience. But she handled the inconvenience with humility, meekness, and patience. And Joyce had mentioned how it come to find out the doctor was familiar with Joyce Meyer's ministries, her husband. And she was like, if my daughter would have acted a fool, that's not what she said, that's not what I'm saying. But if my daughter would have acted up, how would that have then discredited my work? If I'm out here preaching to everybody else and my family is not in order. And so the point of her sharing that is when you have this wilderness mentality, you're not exhibiting the characteristics of the God that you believe in. You're ruining your witness by your behavior. I remember there were some people on my team, and I had a conversation with someone who was on my team, and she was just saying, like, man, it is such a treat to see the life that you live. And not in a way to put me on a pedestal, but she was just saying to be able to see how, yeah, I listen to the podcast, so I know what you say, but to be able to see you behind the scenes, to be able to see you with your family, to be able to see how God is blessing your business, to be able to see how you operate in business when you're off the microphone, and to see the way God's hand is on this. And I'm paraphrasing. She was just saying, it's so inspiring to me what God will do for Christian women entrepreneurs. And that blessed me tremendously, because we're just working together. I'm not necessarily here discipling you, but we're just working together. But you're able to see by example what the Lord will do. And you're able to understand that he's not a respecter of persons, so he'll do it for you too. One of my favorite things to do if I'm speaking at an event is to hang out. Like if I'm going to speak somewhere, and like, for example, I hosted something a couple of months ago and I wanted a coffee. It was late. I was tired. Well, it was late for me. I go to bed by like 8, 9 o'clock. It was like 7. So we're pushing my bedtime. I needed a coffee. So a couple of the other women, they listened to the podcast and they were telling me where the coffee shop was and they were going too. So we went and got coffee together and we sat and we talked and it was nice. And we didn't talk about anything deep. But I believe just having a disposition of meekness, of humility, of patience is important. Because if I would have been kind of consumed with the fact that I had a long day that day, or consumed with, oh, I'm tired, being close to my bedtime, my baby going to be up tonight, and just complaining or whatever, oh, I'm in Baltimore and I got to drive an hour back to PG. If I would have been like that, how would that have ruined my witness? How would that have tarnished what the Lord has done? How would that have planted a negative seed in somebody? So I elaborate on this point, and when we talk about this wilderness mentality of complaining and fault finding, we have to understand that these have implications. This mentality has implications beyond us. It impacts what God has called us to do and the people that we can potentially witness to. I love that Joyce gave a great Old Testament example talking about Joseph. So she says, Joseph was unjustly mistreated by his brothers. They sold him into slavery and told his father that he had been killed by a wild animal. Meanwhile, he was purchased by a wealthy man named Potiphar, who took him into his home as a slave. God gave Joseph favor everywhere he went, and soon he had favor with his new master. Joseph kept getting promoted, but another unjust thing happened to him. Potiphar's wife tried to entice him into having an affair, but because he was a man of integrity, he would have nothing to do with her. Lying to her husband, she said that Joseph had attacked her, which caused him to be in prison for something that he hadn't done. Joseph tried to help others the entire time that he was in prison. He never complained, and because he had a proper attitude in suffering, God eventually delivered and promoted him. He ultimately had so much authority in Egypt that no one else in the entire land was above him except Pharaoh himself. God also vindicated Joseph concerning the situation with his brothers, and that they had to come to Joseph for food when the whole land was in a state of famine. Once again, Joseph displayed a godly attitude by not mistreating them, even though they deserved it. He told them what they had meant for his harm. God had worked out for his good, and that they were in God's hands, not his, and that he had no right to do anything but bless them. Remember I said earlier how you use the word to encourage you so that you could suffer well. Joseph is a perfect story to go and read. Joseph's story is the perfect story to go and read, and you can actually find it in Genesis 39 through 50. This is why it's important for us to be in the word, because when we look at what a lot of these people in biblical times had to suffer through, the stuff that we're dealing with is minuscule. If we just look at Jesus, the stuff that we're dealing with is minuscule. And to me, just keeping Jesus at the top of our mind should be encouragement enough to deter us from complaining, because again, we will never suffer as much as he did. And if he suffered that way and that well for us, we should gladly go into any season. And yeah, that sounds good. It sounds good for me to say that right now. It's not as easy to apply when you're in the thick of it. I understand that. But this is why, again, I have to point us back to the text at all times, because that's where we're going to find our encouragement. I have to shift our focus back to Jesus, because if we focus our eyes on what's above and not on our situations have less of an effect or an impact on how we move. Joyce also introduced 1 Corinthians 10, 9 through 11. And I'm actually going to start at verse 1. And these are some lessons from Israel's idolatry. It says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, nor worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did and died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Joyce says, from these passages, we can quickly see the difference between Joseph and the Israelites. He did not complain at all, and all they did was complain about every little thing that did not go their way. The Bible is very specific about the dangers of grumbling, fault finding, and complaining. The message is quite plain. The complaining of the Israelites opened a door for the enemy who came in and destroyed them. They should have appreciated God's goodness, but they didn't, so they paid the price. We are told that the entire account of their suffering and death was written down to show us what will happen if we behave the way they did. You and I do not complain with our mouth unless we first complained in our thoughts. Complaining is definitely a wilderness mentality that will prevent us from crossing over into the promised land. Jesus is our example, and we should do what He did. The Israelites complained and remained in the wilderness. Jesus praised and was raised from the dead. In this contrast, we can see the power of praise and thanksgiving and the power of complaining. Yes, complaining, grumbling, murmuring, and fault finding have power, but it is negative power. Each time we give our minds and mouths over to any of it, we are giving Satan a power over us that God has not authorized him to have. Let me say that last part again. Each time we give our minds and mouths over to any of it, meaning complaining, we are giving Satan a power over us that God has not authorized him to have. She says, I have discovered that patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. I believe that this is a good place to end. She also brings in Philippians 4:6. Which says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So as we're suffering and we're praying, we can make our requests known with thanksgiving. The Lord has blessed us with the ability to have joy regardless of any circumstance. That is a gift. And anytime we reject the joy that the Lord wants to give us and instead accept and entertain the complaining, the fault finding, the grumbling, the fussing that the enemy wants us to do, we're putting ourselves in a position to end up just like these people of Israel. And I don't want that for us at all. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. So let's commit that whatever season we find ourselves in, we reject the temptation of the enemy and put our focus back on Christ. So that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.